गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे। So we welcome everyone for this morning Bhagavatam class. So we are studying from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5, Chapter 10. Maharaj Rahuguna meets Jad Bharat. So here the conversation between Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahuguna is about to start. So we are discussing Shloka 9 today. Brahmana Uvacha Tvayoditam Vyaktam Aviprabdham Bratur Same Syat Yadi Vira Bar Bharaha Gantur Yadi Syat Adigamam Adva Piveti Rashau Na Vidham Pravadaha. Brahmana Uvacha. The learned Brahmana, Jad Bharat, spoke. Taya, by you. Uditam, explain. Vyaktam, very clearly. Avipralabdham, without contradictions. Bhratuhu, of the bearer, the body. Saha, that, me, mine. Syat, it would have been. Yadi, if Veera, O great hero Maharaj Rahuguna. Bharaha, a load. Gantuhu, of the mover, also the body. Yadi, if Syat, it had been. Adigamyam, the object to be obtained. Adva, the path. Piva, very stout and strong. Iti, thus, rashau, in the body. Na, not, vidam, of the self-realized persons. Pravadaha, subject matter for discussion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great Brahmana Jad Bharat said, my dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement. For the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body, Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin, the body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong. And these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me. But because they relate not to me but to my body, there is no trouble at all. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge is not disturbed by the pains and pleasures of the material body. The material body is completely separate from the spiritual soul, spirit soul. Nice. And the pains and pleasures of the body are superfluous. The practice of austerity and penance is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul, and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures and pains of the body. Jad Bharat was actually situated on the platform of self-realization. He was completely aloof from the bodily conception. Therefore, he immediately took this position and convinced the king that whatever contradictory things the king had said about his body did not actually apply to him as a spirit soul. So we'll also try to go beyond the body by overcoming our external situation. It's so nice. Krishna is sending rains. So since many of you are here for the first day today, I would like to give some background to the context to the shloka that we have arrived at today. So King Rahugana, he was a king of Sindh and Sauvira province. We know where is Sindh. It is in current day Pakistan. And Sauvira is nothing but Saurashtra. So Rahugana was a king of that region. And he had a desire to take satsang of Kapila Muni. Where does Kapila Muni stay? Ganga Sagar. So he took this resolve to go all the way from Kutch to Ganga Sagar. And that too on a palanquin. So that shows that the king had certain qualification, the king had certain adhikar, certain shraddha. Why would somebody take so much effort to go to a satsang? Today we are not willing to go to the temple if it's half an hour away. We say, send me the Zoom link. No, but King Rahugana didn't want to watch it on Zoom. He said, I will go to Ganga Sagar and take satsang of Kapil Muni. So that shows the resolve. That gives the adhikar. Soon we will see how that adhikar is going to work in favor of Rahugana. Because Jad Bharat, who was previously Bharat Maharaj, he was king of Bharat Varsha. And he is being told to carry the palanquin of a king of Kutch, Saurashtra. So Rahugana was a small time king in front of Bharat Maharaj. But Bharat Maharaj was assuming the role of a dull and dumb person, Jada, because he didn't want to implicate himself again. In his previous life, he had already fallen prey to misplaced compassion, and then his spiritual journey had got derailed, or at least delayed. So now he was very cautious. I'm not going to take any chances. Better I don't interact with the world. Let people call me dumb. I don't care. But he was actually a Brahmana. So what happened is, the people who were carrying the palaki of Rahugana, so at that time it was monarchy. If you are the king of that place, you can engage anyone in carrying the palanquin. So a little before reaching the place where Jadbharat was guarding the farm, so his brothers thought that he is useless, he is good for nothing. At least he can, if he stays at the farm, animals, birds will not attack. So at least he is good for that. So they kept him to guard the farm. So when the palanquin approached that area, one of the palanquin carriers became unable to carry the palanquin. So they were looking for one more person. So they happened to come across Jadbharat, the leader of the palanquin carriers. He went and said, "Oh, you look very strong. Come, you have to carry the palanquin of the king." So that was the kind of rights the king had at that time. They didn't ask you, "Where are you going? When will you come back?" Today, even the prime minister cannot make somebody work for them without paying a salary. But that was monarchy. Anyone is obliged to serve the king. No questions asked. No ID, no provident fund. Carry the palanquin and come with us wherever we are going. So what happened? We discussed beautifully in the sections before. You should read. They are very beautiful lessons. That they were Shudras. Shudras means they lacked empathy. They lacked discrimination. So Shudras didn't care where they are walking. But Jadbharat, because he was Bharat Maharaj, he was an exalted devotee, he was very careful. He didn't want to cause any violence, not even to the ants. So we know how ants walk. Ants walk in lines. So Jadbharat was trying to avoid ants. So his focus was on non-violence. Whereas the focus of the other three palanquin carriers was how to please our master. That is the buddhi bhed. Shudra considers, I should not get chastised. I should get my salary. Baki, what happens to the environment? What happens to society? I don't care. But a Brahmana is not like that. A Brahmana cares. A Brahmana feels for everyone. So they were not a good team. But what happened then? The palanquin carriers complained to King Rahugana. We are doing our job properly, but because this new palanquin carrier is not in sync with us, therefore the palanquin is moving and therefore you are feeling jerks. So the king was getting angry. So again, Shudra mentality means they are afraid. Shudra is motivated by fear. So that is not the highest motivation. Jadbharat was on a different mindset. Whereas the other palanquin carriers were fearful of the king. So the king So we'll just read in the previous text what the king said. So first he was very composed. Srila Prabhupada says that the king was expert in political science. So because he was qualified to be a Kshatriya, so the king knew that if I don't take action on the wrongdoer, like they say, one bad apple will spoil all the apples in the basket, then others will also start compromising on their duty. So very expertly he was thinking political science, and he felt that I have to chastise Jadbharat. So Prabhupada says in the purport to the fifth shloka, very beautiful gems of wisdom Srila Prabhupada is sharing, that in this verse, the distinction between Rajoguna and Sattvaguna is explained. So the king might be qualified in political science, very upright, and He might know governmental management, but still, what is the quality of a Kshatriya? That they are predominantly in Rajoguna. So the nature of Rajoguna is that even if there is a slight agitation, the person will become angry. So one may be very expert, scholarly, but they cannot escape the influence of the gunas. So that Srila Prabhupada is trying to point out the nuanced for us. Don't get impressed by those who are expert in the world. See what gunas are they under the influence of. That is more important. So he became angry and he said, he felt that I am the king. I need to be served by all my citizens. That's my right. So the way the king corrects is using the logic of Sam, Dan, Bhed, Danda. That first they try to give you reason, Sam. So that is what Bharat Rahugana is using in shlokas ahead of this. He's calling Jad Bharat his brother, his friend, although he knows that he's not his brother. So very sarcastically, King Rahugana is criticizing Jad Bharat. How troublesome is this, my dear brother? Kitna mushkil hai ye palan ko inkari karna? Because he knew that this new palanquin carrier has joined only now. Abhi 10 minute bhi nahi hua. So, but he's saying sarcastically, you are so tired, I know. You are carrying the palanquin alone for a very long time. Besides, you are so old. Harsh criticism in a sarcastic way. My dear friend, I see that you are not very strong, bechara. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you? Koi aapko madad hi nahi kar raha hai. So that, in that way, King was criticizing Jad Bharat with sarcastic words. But the difference is, oh, then the other carriers of the palanquin got worried. Now the king is giving some. If this doesn't work and we don't rectify, very soon he will come to Danda. So they said, we don't want to get into this trap. Second time when the king saw that, still his palanquin was unsteady, then he became more angry. He said, you rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite living? So now intensity of sarcasm increases. Don't you know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamaraj. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the right thing. So what was happening, as beautifully explained in yesterday's class by Abhay Gauranga Prabhu, the problem is not to be a king, the problem is to get overwhelmed with pride and arrogance that I am the king. So we will see in our discussion today what is the identity that we should have and we need, and what is the identity that we have to give up. What is false ego? So Rahugana got influenced by pride and he obviously did not know who he was chastising. If he knew that he is a Brahmana, he would have not chastised, because Brahmanas are beyond the purview of the law. Brahmanas are living a life directed towards pursuit of Brahman. They are not, you cannot treat them like ordinary citizens. So here, the response that Jad Bharat showed is phenomenal. Even after being criticized so harshly, Jad Bharat did not respond. He was peaceful. He was calm. How did this happen? He was unaffected by this sarcastic criticism of the king. This can happen only when somebody has reached the Brahma Bhuta stage. As much as time permits, we will try to understand what is this Brahma Bhuta stage. In simple words, it is the stage of understanding who is Brahman and what is my connection to Brahman. That means going beyond the body. So we know about it, we talk about it in our classes, but we have not realized it. I have not reached the Brahma Bhuta stage. So I will be affected if somebody criticizes me. But the test, like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, the test of a person's greatness is how they tolerate provoking situations. What other examples from scriptures can you recall where personalities stood this test and they did not get affected by unfavorable circumstances? Bali Maharaj, okay, when Vamandev was punishing him somewhat unfairly, good. Oh, Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He's beyond Brahma Bhuti. He's like Tattva himself. Vidura, very beautiful. Duryodhan criticized him with such harsh words. Duryodhan said, "You are a kept son of a mistress." Matlab, seedha birth pe hi gaali. What did Vidura say? "Ye raha aapka bow and arrow. Thank you, bye-bye. I was waiting for this opportunity. I always wanted to be dedicated exclusively in service of Krishna." Any other example? Very emphatic. Sorry? Avanti Brahmana. It is nobody's fault. It is not these children's fault. It is not my relative's fault. It is my own mind. Anything else comes to mind? What about Ambarish Maharaj? Ambarish Maharaj was about to be killed by that demon which Durvas Muni created. Ambarish Maharaj was like, so how is it possible? It can be possible at only two levels. If a person is insane or the person is self-realized. Everyone else in between will have to feel fear. So this is a symptom of a stage. This is not a quality that we can pursue in isolation. If I try to be unmoved and situated in equanimity without realizing Tattva Gyan or who am I, who is God, without that level, reaching that level of realization, we cannot act in a certain way. It is a symptom of our situation. So therefore one senior devotee was telling about His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He says, Maharaj can speak about humility. For us to speak on humility is so theoretical. It's very difficult. It will feel hypocritical. So we have to raise our consciousness to reach a stage of realization where we can live by those symptoms. So therefore, in Vedic culture, intelligence does not mean how much information you know. How is intelligence defined in Bhagavad Gita? What is Vidya in chapter 13? Amanitvam. It talks of character. It doesn't talk of information or memory. So important. So in Vedic culture, intelligence or knowledge was always tied to what qualities are you displaying? What character do you carry? So that speaks louder than what you say. So here, after this sarcasm from King Rahugana, in Hindi it's called Vyang. So Rahugana was saying in Vyang, but actually Jad Bharat Maharaj took it that at the level of the soul, what you're saying is right. Because I am not carrying, the body is carrying. I am not walking for a long time, neither is this path mine. This is all for the body. But we cannot speak it before we realize it. So we'll come to that. So Jad Bharat was completely peaceful. Why? Because why was King Rahugana agitated? What did we see? Because he was influenced by Rajoguna. And what is the reason that Jad Bharat could stay calm? Because he was beyond the gunas. That is the difference. That should be our pursuit. We should try to see people and ourselves in terms of gunas, not in terms of externals. Externals can be deceptive. So, what Raghuna is saying to Jadbharat is, are you dead while living? I am your master, you are my servant, I am king. So, Raghuna is going to be embarrassed for using this language in front of Jadbharat, who is self-realized. Very soon he is going to repent for using such words. So that is the difference between devotees and those who are under the influence of Maya. The difference is that of bodily identification. So those who are under the sway of Maya, under the curtain of Maya, they believe that they are the body, and the goal of life is to maximize the pleasure of the body and the mind, the pleasure and the comforts of the body. And devotees understand the exact opposite, that we have nothing to do with the body. The body is given to me according to my karma. I have this body today, I'll have another body next time. As per my karma, Prakriti is giving me different bodies. I should not get attached to a particular body. I should rather focus on the journey of the soul. How can I upgrade the journey of the soul? So watching the body and what happens to our body in this life is like watching a movie after interval. We don't watch movies, but still saying. So if somebody comes after an interval, watches movie for 10 minutes, they will not have an idea of what's going on. They will feel that the protagonist is the villain and the villain is the protagonist. So we will never know why something good or bad is happening to us, because we are not omniscient. We cannot see past lives. Only Krishna can see past lives. So if we believe that Krishna cannot be unfair, the laws of nature cannot fail, and that Krishna is our best friend, then we have no cause for lamentation. In the previous classes, one of the classes, Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu beautifully spoke of three levels of tolerance. Tolerance at the level of dualities, tolerance at the level of my own karma, and tolerance if Krishna has arranged something, that is Krishna's will, I should tolerate. So tolerance is not weakness. Only an enlightened soul can tolerate. And what is the benefit of tolerance? That you can break that chain of karma. You will not get further implicated. What if Jadbharat would have reacted harshly to King Raghuna and started giving similar arguments? You know, the vaad would have become argument and fight. But Jadbharat Maharaj said, no, I am realized. I can act better. I don't want to further my karmic balance. In fact, I want to cut this karmic cycle. So Bharat Maharaj just stayed calm. So at that time, there was no, you know, if the king is chastising you and the king is saying, I'll kill you, that means it is going to come true. It is not that you can go to the court and file a case. There were no courts. The king is the final authority. So, thinking of himself as a king, King Raghuna was in bodily conception, as we saw, and he was influenced by the gunas. Whereas the word used for Jadbharat in Shloka 8 is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who is Brahman, that is Bhagavan, and one who has also realized Brahman. They are also called Brahman. So it is to indicate that Jadbharat had reached the level of complete self-realization. It is said in the scriptures that to meditate on the Absolute, you have to become of the nature of the Absolute. It doesn't mean we are same as the Absolute, but it says that you need that qualification. We cannot meditate on Absolute, that Advayam, being in bodily consciousness. In one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that those who are very deeply rooted in bodily consciousness of life, they cannot conceive of Krishna as having a spiritual body. If all your life you have seen things only work in a certain way, and you go to a new setup where So you have always seen cars being driven on road, but then you go to a different country, probably a different planet, and then you see cars flying. How will you feel? So similarly, to meditate on that absolute, we have to become of that nature of absolute. So beautiful words are used for Jad Bharat. He is called as Bhagavat Priya Niketana. In the hearts of devotees, in the bodies of devotees, Krishna is residing. He is Bhagavat Priya Niketana, and Rahugana is finding faults in that body. So idea is that somebody who is materially contaminated, they cannot see a self-realized soul. As they say, it takes one to know one. So Rahuguna could not figure out that this Jad Bharat is a self-realized soul. But we cannot expect to react in the same way, because all of us, most of us, cannot immediately reach that level of self-realization. So the more we advance from our bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, that much happy and peaceful we will be. That's the sadhana we have. We have to go beyond this bodily conception. And more we go beyond this bodily conception, our spiritual identity will be strengthened. So Srila Madhvacharya says that those who are too materially affected, they can never come out of the cycle of samsara. They will have to continue their bodily conception. So what is the way to slacken or cut that strong noose of bodily identity? First is Sambandha Gyan. To understand, that's why Lord Krishna starts with giving Arjun the knowledge of Sankhya. That first understand who you are, rather than trying to jump to understand who God is. There are some religions in this world who tell the practitioner, for your sins, God will take care. You just have to accept God. And they believe that after dying, after being buried, that their God will take them back to heaven. But they can see in front of their eyes, what is buried is their body, which is decaying. So they are getting knowledge of God without getting knowledge of soul. That is very dangerous. That is in fact propagating ignorance in the name of religion. But in Kali Yuga, these things become popular. So, like a pyramid. So these kind of schools which talk about, which propagate ignorance, they somehow become more popular in Kali Yuga. So Rahuguna was in Raj Bhava, or he was in Ishwari Bhava, that I am a king and Jad Bharat should be serving me. So yes, we saw one good quality of King Rahuguna, that he was putting endeavor to go to a satsang of Kapila Muni. But what is the benefit of going to a satsang with that Ishwari Bhav? You have to approach a guru with humility and surrender. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. We might go and attend all satsangs, but if we go with ego and pride and Ishwari Bhav, that I am something, I deserve something, then learning will not happen. Learning happens when we are in a mood of humility and surrender. So, but Jad Bharat saw that Rahuguna is ready to hear. He's speaking for the first time. Jad Bharat is speaking for the first time in this shloka today. He didn't speak this Tattva Gyan to his father, to his relatives, to anyone. Why? Because he saw that they are under the influence of gunas. So Rahuguna was a perfect candidate because he was overcome by arrogance and pride. So it is said that a touchstone makes everything it touches into gold. But a saint or a pure devotee is even superior to a touchstone. A touchstone can make an object into gold, but a touchstone cannot make that object into another touchstone. Right? A pure devotee can make another person a pure devotee. So who is better? touchstone or a pure devotee. So we'll see as this episode progresses that Rahuguna got transformed and he got to the same stage of elevation as Jadbharat. So let's discuss the idea that this philosophy that nothing matters. So what is Jadbharat saying? What you are saying sarcastically is actually true. I am not the carrier. The body is the carrier. I am not strong or stout. The body is strong or stout. I am not going on a path. The body is going on a path. So, is this right or does this ring some alarms for you? This philosophy is correct, right? I am not strong or stout. I don't carry. It's the soul. The body doesn't matter. It's all meaningless. Is it correct? Okay, how is it wrong? How, so what is the part which is not partially right? Okay, good. The interconnection between the desire of the soul and the action of the body. Anything else? Looks correct. That's the risk. And therefore we need acharyas. So, acharyas point out that if we adapt this idea in the absolute sense, that everything is illusory. My being a stout and strong person is not real. I am carrying this palanquin, that is not real. Very unconsciously we slip into Mayavad. Everything is illusory, therefore everything is meaningless. Therefore nothing matters. That is not our philosophy. That is not Vaishnav Siddhanta. So we'll spend a few minutes discussing Tattva. How is this not Vaishnav Siddhanta? So before you quote Jadbharat's shlokas to someone, you should know that it could also be interpreted as impersonalism. So that is Vivartavad. We follow Shakti Parinam Vad. That Krishna's energy is transforming. This world, is it real or unreal? What do you say? How many people feel that this world is real? How many feel this world is not real? So, that means we are also not real, our interactions are also not real, our emotions are also not real, our feelings are also not real. This very quietly slips into impersonalism or nihilism. Nothing matters, do what you like. That is a very dangerous philosophy. We are followers of Parinamvad. This is real because this is Krishna's energy. How would you feel if something that you created, a beautiful painting that you created, spending 10 days working hard on, and I say this is unreal, this is mithya. It is an insult to the creator. So we don't insult the creator by calling Krishna's energy as unreal. We say it is temporary. Yes, Jagat, the nature of Jagat is to constantly undergo transformation. But temporary and unreal are two very different things. Very cleverly, the impersonalist interpreters, they try to mix the two before the audience can understand. So we have to be very philosophically alert. Because that, then they will come to the proposition that then there is no truth in the relationships. There is no truth in feelings. If they deny that, where is the scope for rasa? Where is the scope for bhakti? Where is the scope for sharanagati? So that is the danger of Mayavad, Srila Prabhupada used to say. Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoil sarvanash. Because your mind will not have a mood of devotion after understanding that everything is unreal, immaterial, one. No, everything is not meaningless and immaterial. It is real. So, any other instance in scriptures you see where incorrect philosophy is used to achieve a certain goal? Yes. So little Krishna is asking Nanda Maharaj, what are you doing? Very innocently. His idea was to crush the pride of Indra. So innocently Lord Krishna is asking, what are you all doing? What is this sacrifice about? So Nanda Maharaj begins to speak from scriptures that Indra is the devata of rains, and because of Indra we have grains, and the same grains we are offering back to Indra as a yajna, because we have to satisfy Indra. That is how we have to do our karma. That is what parampara tells us. And what does Lord Krishna say? He says in 10, 24, 13, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. What is this philosophy? This is karma mimamsa. This is not Vaishnav Siddhanta. But who is speaking it? Vishnu is speaking it. So we cannot quote everything directly without understanding its context. So the context of Jad Bharat's speech is to shake Raguna out of ignorance. Shake him out of bodily identification. Doesn't mean we have to take that philosophy to the absolute extreme and follow it in all circumstances. We go and tell our parents, you are not my mother, you are not my father. This is like too early before you realized anything. So Nanda Maharaj, that was not Vaishnav Siddhanta, but still Lord Krishna used it because he wanted, he saw that they are pure devotees. They should be directly worshipping me. Why are they worshipping my assistant? It is so inappropriate. With that mood, Lord Krishna discouraged the Brajvasis from worshipping Indra. He might have used a incomplete, incorrect philosophy, but his conclusion was right. So we should judge every philosophy by its conclusion. If this philosophy is taking us to the conclusion of nothing is real, nothing is meaning, everything is meaningless, then that is wrong. We should be aware of what is the conclusion of my philosophical presentation. So sadhana, what is sadhana bhakti? If this body is not real, if this body is meaningless, Rupa Goswami describes sadhana bhakti as kriti sadhya bhavet, using mind and senses to evoke bhava. So then the body is real. The body is so amazing that it can give us a permanent spiritual gain, which is Krishna prem. So for us Vaishnavas, body is very much real. And it is an amazing vehicle to give us something which is the highest goal in for human pursuit, which is love for God. How do we achieve that? By utilizing this body's senses and mind in service of Krishna in a favorable attitude. That is bhakti. So bhakti is defined based on the body. And if we ascribe, like Jad Bharat is saying, I am not this, then how will you do bhakti? Somebody tells you, go worship the deities. My body cannot worship. How can I? It is the body who is worshipping. No, it is the body containing the soul who has the bhava for Krishna. So we see it in that holistic way. Jad Bharat was trying to argue, to present arguments to deflate the pride of Raguna. So in that context, he was right in using this philosophy. So he's saying, today you are king, therefore you think you can punish me. So can we say like that? Is there not a right for a king to punish someone? What is an example from Bhagavatam where a king did punish a miscreant? Parikshit Maharaj punished who? Kali. What if Kali had used Jad Bharat's arguments? Today you are king, tomorrow you will be servant. Today I am servant, I will become king. No, there is a place for justice, there is a place for, we have these roles in society. So Rahuguna got bewildered. That was Rahuguna's immaturity. If he had knew this science, he could have argued. But the main crux is Rahugana was overcome with Rajoguna and pride and arrogance, and that is what Jad Bharat tried to deflate. The difference between Rahugana and Parikshit is that there is no pride. That is why this philosophy is used by Jad Bharat for Rahugana, and this philosophy was not used in the context of Parikshit Maharaj. So ultimately, King Rahugana is going to become very confused. Who is this? He is defeating all my arguments with amazing philosophical propositions, but he looks like deaf and dumb. So Jad Bharat's speaking had an effect on Rahugana. That is the goal Rahugana wanted to achieve. So he found an adhikar in Rahugana, and therefore he spoke knowledge to him. He didn't speak it to his relatives, brothers, father. What are the fundamental teachings that we can learn from Jad Bharat's section here? One is that we should not identify with the body. Second is that soul is absolute, but body is temporary. Karma gives us a body, but still it is temporary. The body can never be permanent. Only the soul is permanent. Therefore, we should not get into identifying with the body. Will you identify with something that is changing? So, yehi samsparsha jabhoga dukkha yonayo evate adi antavanta kaunteya na teshu ramate buddha. Those who are learned, those who are mature, wise, they are not interested in temporary things. Those who are interested in temporary things worship the devatas. For gains which are temporary, in a material world which is temporary, by the devatas who are themselves temporary. So how wise or mature the worshipper is, that helps them decide their goal, their prayojan. So worshipping with material desires is criticized throughout the Bhagavad Gita. So we should not identify with the body. That is the main teaching of this section of Jad Bharat's teaching to Rahugana. So thinking of oneself as king is illusory. That is the problem. Because the king is a designation given to us. What is upadhi? How would you define upadhi? So we see that mukti is mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Give up all other false designations, and what you will be left with is your swarupa. Swarupena vyavastiti. Be finally situated in your swarupa. How? By giving up all designations. What is upadhi? Sarva upadhir vinir mukta tat paratvena nirmalam. So what are upadhis? What do we understand? Identities arising from bodily conception. So the main enemy here is bodily conception. That is the disease that Jad Bharat is trying to cure. So you can be a king and perform your functions as a king, but you should not start identifying with the king, with that upadhi of being a king. That is the nuance. That is how we should live in this world. We all have roles, because without roles, this society would be chaotic. What is Lord Krishna telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? Why should you fight? Because you are a kshatriya. Where is that kshatriya coming from? That is called swabhava. Where is swabhava coming from? Body. So we have roles based on swabhava of the nature that we have acquired, and we have to fulfill those roles in normal society. But the problem is to start identifying with the roles. We have to function, we have to perform those roles, but not get attached to it. That is the art of work, karmasu kaushalam, taught in Bhagavad Gita. Be a king, no problem. But don't start believing or identifying yourself as the king. Then pride, arrogance, rajoguna, that will lead to loss of discernment. You will not know what is right, what is wrong. That might lead to cruelty, to injustice. So what is being condemned is ultimately ignorance, avidya. Avidya is the root of all suffering. Because we mistakenly identify with something we are not. Like in a dream, if you identify with a person who is running and is being chased by a lion, and the lion grabs the person and starts ripping apart their limbs. It is a dream, but you will be sweating, your heartbeat will increase. You might also get a heart attack in the dream. But why is that suffering happening to you? Because you are identifying with that person in the dream. If you wake up, there is no lion. So suffering has the root cause in avidya, misidentification. So there are rules in society. So like even in Bhagavad Gita, if you see carefully, Lord Krishna is telling Arjun, who are you who will kill? Who is the soul who gets killed? Soul can never be killed, neither cause anyone to kill. If you use this philosophy, you can go around and indiscriminately start killing everyone. Again, we have to understand and use a philosophy based on its conclusion and not bring it to the extreme absolute level and use it everywhere. There is punishment if somebody kills who is not supposed to kill. So Krishna is giving this message in the Gita, but there is also a balance in which we should understand. Krishna is saying that to Arjuna for a temporary effect, that Arjun rises beyond the bodily identification with his relatives. But we can't use it at an absolute level. That's what the message is. So there, Arjun is stuck with rules of morality, of ethics. This is not right according to moral codes. This is unethical. Krishna is saying, all your morality and ethics are not based on the most important dharma, that you are not this body. So our role in society should be based, or what we call our dharma, our swadharma, should be based on this essential understanding that body and soul are separate. So Arjun was giving all other arguments but ignoring this main foundational principle. So Lord Krishna wanted to bring him from the level of ethics and morality to the level of understanding the spirit soul. That was the temporary use of those arguments. There was a functional role, but we should not use it at all levels. So there are so many things we can discuss, but these are some thoughts I thought I'll share with you all today. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Another point Srila Prabhupada says, I'd like to add here before we come to your question. So Srila Prabhupada says, the practice of austerity and penance. So we wonder, why should we do austerity? Tapotivyam. Those who have a materialistic concept, they will feel austerity is craziness. Why do you want to trouble your own body and mind? But somebody who takes to Vedic culture, what do the Vedas give us? Regulations. Somebody who is not regulated is animalistic. So Vedas is just adding regulation in our life. Do pursuit of artha, indulge in kama, but do it in a dharmic way. Don't be uncivilized, irreligious animal, because then you will be further degraded. Rather, do it in a religious way, a sustainable way, that will lead to your purification. So the same activity a materialist does, they will undergo degradation. A spiritualist does, who is conforming to the Vedas, they will undergo elevation. Why? Because one is observing the regulations of Shastra and other is neglecting the regulations of Shastra. So Srila Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrit that we are in diseased condition. We are having high fever. So should we indulge in eating luxurious foodstuffs? No. First important thing is to come back to normal condition. Therefore, scriptures, Vedas give us regulations so that we bring down our fever. Then we can have dharmic kama, dharmic artha. So that is the importance of regulations. And beautifully, Srila Prabhupada says, The practice of austerity and penance. Why should we do tap? Tomorrow is Ekadashi. Why should we follow Ekadashi? It is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul, and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures and pains of the body. So for example, Ekadashi gives us an opportunity, or if it's Nirjal, it gives us an opportunity to discriminate between what are the needs of the body and what are the demands of the mind. My body doesn't need so much food, but my mind is making me believe I need food 3 times a day. But how are you able to fast Nirjal? So that is the purpose of penance, of austerity, of regulation. To slowly make us realize that the pains and pleasures that we are obsessed with have nothing to do with our true self, which is the soul. Start seeing, observing and catering to the needs of you, the soul. When will you wake up? That is why we need to do austerity and penances. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for this subject about body and the soul. So we know that we are not this body, but we take care of this body. Health becomes a very important, because so for a Mayavadi, it is a illusion. So why does he eat when he becomes hungry?
Yeah, please continue. No, Prabhupada says beautifully, they are expert in saying that they are not this body. This is from Bhagavad Gita, I think chapter 3, in one of the purports. Srila Prabhupada says they are very expert in giving talks that they are not this body, but they are also very expert in enjoying the same body. So it's hypocrisy. How can you have gratification of something which you believe you are not? So it's basically being hypocritical. Prabhupada says, why do they come back into social activities, welfare activities? If they believe they are not the body, then they should not act at the bodily level. But because it's a misinterpretation of scripture, therefore it's impractical to apply. So they have to give support to the practitioners who do their meditation. Why is that kind of impersonal meditation difficult? Then they will give talks on how to make your impersonal meditation easy. How much ever you try, it's not going to be easy, because it's artificial, it's unnatural. So it's just a play of words that they are trying to. Another thing you said is, it is important obviously to take care of our body. Like we discussed, our whole premise of sadhana bhakti comes from engaging the senses. And we saw that Jad Bharat was called Bhagwat Priya Niketana. The body of devotee is residence of Krishna. What greater position can we give to this body? It's a temple of Krishna. But we can act only as per our realization. So we might believe that we are not this body, but we are not convinced that we are not this body. Therefore we need to address the needs. And the difference between jnana and vijnana. Vijnana is realized knowledge, which is conviction, which you can apply. That nishtha comes after anartha nivritti. So by doing this process of sadhana, when our impurities are washed away, then we'll actually reach a level where we will be convinced that I am not this body. And we will also be able to act at that level, not simply speak about it. So that requires purification of anarthas. So for a sadhaka, it is an incremental process. As much as your purification has happened, that much you are convinced that I am not this body. So it's a work in progress. Otherwise, we have to be absorbed. What is samadhi? What is prema? What is bhava? That you are so absorbed. So we don't have to consciously pay attention to neglect the needs of the body. We should be so absorbed in the role of the soul. Krishna, the soul is absorbed in Krishna that Parikshit Maharaj is unaware that he has not eaten or had a drink, food or drink in 7 days. So the austerity of the body should come as a side effect of the absorption of our soul. We are not here to create and give misery to the body. That is not our path. Tapasya is not our sadhana. Our sadhana is Krishna Prem. So like, you know, somebody takes meal for, we bring our lunch to office But we forget to open the lunchbox because we are so busy in work. That absorption, that samadhi is like transcending the bodily platform. So that is what you are trying to say, that Brahmabhuta stage, once you arrive there because of your absorption in Krishna, then you will completely rise above the bodily needs. You don't have to separately cater to that. Oh, today I will not do this. That's okay at a sadhak level, but the principle is absorption should make austerity enjoyable or even indifferent. Does that answer your question?
So austerity also is to minimize the needs of the body so that we...
Srila Prabhupada says here, austerity is to realize bodily needs, soul needs.
Yes.
So that will make us more aware to the existence of the soul. Because we are so absorbed day to day in just mindlessly fulfilling the demands of the body and mind. And we don't even try to overcome it. So that is yajna dantapa. That purifies even the purified. That should never be stopped, Lord Krishna says.
It's very natural that when you age, you know, there will be an anxiety that your body will not be fit. So that anxiety will be there when you see, as old age is, you know, and at the same time you are not absorbed. So the fear of, you know, becoming bedridden and no one to take care of. So how do you address that anxiety?
Absorption in Krishna makes one oblivious to material circumstances. I have not achieved it. I am just speaking from the text I read. So we should reach a level of sleeplessness without Krishna's Smaranam. If we start chanting Krishna's name, we should forget sleeping. Not that we reach an age where we cannot get sleep. So that's the race between the body and the soul. If the soul overtakes the needs of the body, then we are in absorption. If the body overtakes the needs of the soul, then we are in a little difficult situation. But we know, Neha Vikrama Nashasti. Krishna will preserve our spiritual endeavor. So we will change of body. We'll start from a situation which is favorable. We'll continue from the faith that we had generated. So in one sense, Krishna gives the assurance, but at the other end, we also need to be aware of the opportunity that we have got and consider the power of bhakti, the power of sangha, and not misuse even one day in bhakti. So it is, Krishna will reward us seeing our endeavor. His mercy is going to purify us, but we have to attract His mercy. So how will we attract if we don't endeavor? So bhakti is a very process of effort. People feel bhakti is all about grace. It is about grace after Krishna is attracted to your endeavor. Not, you know, I don't put effort, I'm just... If you are a Kripa Siddha, Krishna may give you, but not for normal people. You know better than me, Prabhu. But yeah, according to this context, so Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He was oblivious. He didn't care. Why? Because he was absorbed. So our goal, our eagerness should be to get that absorption somehow. That absorption is the antidote to the fear of old age. So,
thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Please pray for us, how we will handle old age. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.